Welcome to the Gatecast.
We're off to see the wizard.
Presented by Alan and Mike.
Lucy, I'm home.
I was going to do my living room like this.
I am not Lucy.
Well, sir, my recommendation is that anyone attempting to leave the mountain should be shot on sight.
Good evening, people, and welcome to what is, I suppose, unless we actually manage to do a reasonable wrap-up this year, the second last episode of Season 2. Episode 21 disc, Lord knows, I think we haven't hit 50 yet.
Not yet. Evening, folks.
But this is 1969, and I have, certainly on my DVD, an almost unrecognisable Daniel, I think, in John Lennon glasses, with slick-backed non-Carter twin hair, and looks like he's going bald. I don't know if you have that, Picky.
Because no, it's just an official promo picture of the four of them in their hippie gear.
Yeah, this is Daniel Carter. Actually looking like... Carter actually looks kind of cool. She's got the circular glasses with the sort of red tint. And yeah. Daniel's a kind of light brownish tint.
Very John Lennon-ish.
I don't know if she's meant to be Yoko. For a start off, Carter's far better looking than that Ibex. I don't know if you've heard that used as an insult. It's probably fairly unique to Irish.
I have never heard of that used as an insult, no.
No, we refer to God, that awful-looking Ibex. The other one, which is very definitely Irish, is Amadon, which you might have heard of Father Ted if you'd seen it.
Never got into that series.
Derek Morgan, God rest him. Drank, smoked, took drugs, killed over 47.
And was he happy? Probably.
Probably for most of the time. I think he might have been happier for another 40 years of life, but still.
Yeah, yeah.
On that slightly depressing note, whether or not you decided to edit it.
We all have fond memories of the TV shows we watched growing up. Hi, I'm John Bailey.
And I'm Andy Bailey. Hey, Dad, what are some of the shows you grew up with?
Fireball XL5, The Invaders, Green Hornet, Time Tunnel. How about you?
Knight Rider, The Flash, Erie, Indiana, Pete and Pete, Amazing Stories.
You know, it'd be kind of fun to revisit some of those old shows and see how they hold up today. And that's where the TV Lounge comes in.
It's the podcast where we take older TV shows, go through them episode by episode with full recaps and our thoughts.
Some are quite good and others, well, Andy, you know, they're worth a look and they're worth our discussion.
We're not going to cover any currently airing shows, just older programs.
So why not join us in the extra recliner here in the TV Lounge?
We're at tvloungepodcast.blogspot.com.
I'm going to hit play in 3, 2, 1 now. And the DVD spins up. And where's our line? There's our line. And we're in fade up gate room.
The gate room. And the boys are calmly waiting for Sam.
Antioch looks like he needs to refresh his head shaving. Looking a bit stubbly there at the back.
She says something about having to time the calculations exactly right this time of year.
This time of year? What difference does it make?
She says something about solar... to be honest with you, I wasn't really paying attention.
Really?
Carter!
And Daniel's hair has changed. He doesn't have the fringe anymore. It's completely swept back.
He's already getting into the spirit of things. Freedom.
And a hard-boiled egg.
Make that 3 hard-boiled eggs. And 1 duck egg.
Typical. Always waiting for the woman.
We know that. Let's go.
Yes, sir.
You can start the dialing procedure.
Actually, my brother said that... my brother's wife has said that she gets ready far faster than he does.
That's only because every time he comes out of the room, she says, you're not wearing that. Go and change.
I'd like you to take this note along with you. Keep it in your vest pocket until you get on the other side. It's fairly self-explanatory.
Chevron 2, encoded.
Sir, is everything all right?
Everything's fine.
Chevron 3, encoded.
Time to ship out, Captain.
Yes, sir.
Ah, that's a nice little cut. Yeah, just a note. Not an envelope, just a note. It's the lotto numbers.
Was the lotto in American 1969?
I'm sure they did.
He, of course, knows about this.
Yeah.
That's a nice shot of the gate dialing there.
I've encoded.
Done already?
Chevron 6 encoded. Chevron 7 locked.
Was it just me, or was that guy actually helping her on with the backpack?
Chivalrous.
She's military. I mean, she should be turning around and breaking it down. And where is Walter? I want Walter. Not in that sense. He's looking very serious.
The gate room looks a bit empty.
Doesn't it?
Yeah.
This is just odd.
And that's why it looked empty, to make sure it looked pretty much identical to this one.
So you get the subtlety of the transition?
Yeah.
Did you see that?
Jack, do you see this?
Well, surely they should have had the tap. If this were 1969, shouldn't it be mothballed?
Where are we?
I don't know, sir. For a minute there, we were back in the gate room.
No, it's not. Now it changes. Ooh. Ah, not a good place to be.
You know, this looks suspiciously like the butt end of a Titan missile.
I think Jack is correct.
Standing by for test burn in T-minus 20 seconds.
What is a test burn?
Just what it sounds like. Any ideas here? Abort! Abort!
Oh, right out of a Bond movie.
This is panic.
Tilk at his calmest. Interesting. Duck and cover.
I'm not sure Junior could survive that.
I don't think anybody's going to survive this.
He's overwhelmed the electronics?
Yeah, just shorted it out. Of course, firing that sort of energy weapon into the engine system of a hydrogen and oxygen-fueled rocket could be bad.
Indeed.
How'd you know that would work?
I did not.
Hands
on your head! Get on your knees!
This isn't ending well, because of course they're wearing uniforms that aren't recognisable.
Well, regardless of that, they're in the most secure American facility. At the bottom of a missile bay.
We have the gate sequence. We have Daniel with his name.
So, 1969 then, written by Brad Wright. Directed by Charles Carell.
Who the hell is Charles Carell?
He's only done one other SG episode, that were the Knox. That he's big in crime procedural, CSI, Without a Trace.
Which might explain this episode, because it's not really a standard science fiction-y episode. Credits fades out. And I'm in.
Yep.
Who are you, and how did you get into this facility?
What facility?
Answer the question.
Sir, don't say anything. This is the gate.
Shut up!
Ooh, a nasty piece of work.
Isn't he?
The person who shoots his mouth off gets this, is that clear?
Take them to the holding room.
Yes, sir.
No, take me to your CO.
Oh. Well,
that was a mistake.
Yes, we have the episode title pop up and all these weird...
Weird, very weird.
Yes.
The Major wants all this stowed for transport, sir.
What is it?
My orders are to forget I ever saw it, sir, so I'm afraid...
Is that meant to be a young Hammond on the left?
Thank you, Sergeant.
That is Lieutenant George Hammond. Played by Aaron Paul.
He's got the sort of vocal inflection right.
They did a very good job of making sure he sounded like our George Hammond. And of course, the writing is the same.
He recognises his own handwriting. That black eye is from the look of it.
I'm fairly certain that we've travelled back in time, roughly about 30 years.
So where is the Stargate? This is actually... to be honest, I thought I wasn't really bothering with the transcript. I really liked it. I don't remember it in great detail. Which is odd for me, because I generally remember everything in great detail. But that was a long teaser. I mean, we've got the written boy popping up at 7 minutes.
Yeah.
Well, think about it. We're the first people in human history to go back in time, well, for all we know. If we could figure out how to do this again, just think of what we could do. We could actually visit Babylon. We could We could see the Great Wall of China being built.
Since the Stargate isn't in Cheyenne Mountain, it's being stored somewhere.
Yeah, it's quite.
So, road trip, assuming they can get out of the mountain.
Well, yes, the most secure facility, but of course they're not the way out of the mountain.
If you went back 50 years and murdered your own grandfather, your own father would never have been born.
So you're saying that if we change our own past...
We could change our world in ways that we can't possibly imagine.
Now we get the, let's teach the audience all about paradox.
Yes, you might accidentally kill your own grandfather.
Yeah, I'm sorry, Jack certainly should be totally up to speed with this. I get the feeling that, you know, he watches this sort of television.
Mm-hmm. Well, you get the impression that Jack... Mind you, just because he does astronomy doesn't necessarily mean he's moved into more esoteric branches of astrophysics.
No, true, but he watches The Simpsons. You know, and they quote Star Wars and other sci-fi stuff. The grandfather paradox should be well known.
Our advanced weapons, our GDOs.
Correct me if I'm wrong, Captain, but haven't we altered history already just by being here?
We have to concentrate on damage control.
At least they didn't bring up going back and killing Hitler, which is quite often used as an example.
I think Carter's opinion on that, I'm not reading the transcripts, but I think Carter's opinion was that if you killed Hitler, someone else of a similar ilk would rise to...
Yeah, it might be a better military commander.
Yeah, might realise, let's retreat in Russia.
It's handy those badges are just peel off.
Well, the Velcro, and I'm not sure, did Velcro exist in 1969?
T'Pol invented it, didn't she? In Enterprise. She went back to the 50s,
yes.
Was it?
Vi sovietski spioni?
Нет? Daniel? He just asked if we were Soviet spies. I just...
This is Daniel screwing up by actually understanding the words.
Нет. Nuclear vessels.
Yes, nuclear vessels.
Yeah. Now, I could be going to be tortured, Daniel. Thank you very much.
Non-subtle cigarette. I wonder, is this a nod to the X-Files smoking ban?
No, I think it's just an example that everybody smoked back then. Obviously, hell of a lot more common.
I'm Major Robert Thornburg. And you are?
Jack.
Captain James T. Kirk of the Starship Enterprise.
We're seeking nuclear vessels.
The problem, of course, in 1969, the show was on.
Mm-hmm.
Now, maybe the Air Force captain, was he? May not watch Star Trek, but he should have got the reference.
Yes. This could have been a continuity. I can't imagine Brad Pitt making that sort of basic error. Or Brad Wright. Sorry. Brad Pitt. Brad Wright making... I haven't had much sleep this week. I can't imagine him making that sort of basic error. It just strikes me as odd.
Training facility? You don't think we'd test fire a real missile 28 floors inside a mountain, do you? Listen, you don't have the exact date. What was the weapon you used?
I get the impression, Chana, recording this episode is going to go really, really quickly.
It's a good episode.
Because I'm kind of going, damn, 10 minutes already, we've only half an hour left. Whereas normally I'm sort of going, especially some of the worst episodes, oh God, it's only 17.
Yeah.
How much more of this do we have to watch? See, we like this episode.
Yeah.
Mr. My government doesn't take kindly to Soviet spies in its highest security facilities. Neither do I.
Bob. Can I call you Bob?
Can I call you Bob?
Huh?
He's saying, can I call you Bob?
Chief. Kirk, you can talk to me, or you can talk to the CIA.
Kirk, see, he accepts his name as Kirk. It's not as if he's, you know... disbelieving. Of course, this mirrors an actual Star Trek episode where Kirk went back in time and was interviewed by the military.
Yes, and managed to confuse people.
Yeah, when you come to think of it, there's quite a few similarities between this and that.
It's Skywalker. Luke Skywalker.
He didn't buy Luke Skywalker either, Jack.
Yeah. Well, actually, you see, the point being, he realised, okay, Kirk is on in 69. Star Wars didn't come out until 77.
Like I say, Haban knows exactly what's happened. All he can do is wait and hope it
And he's
pays
not
off.
Going to say anything because...
Still no sign of SG-1, sir. I never made it to P2X555.
Very well. SG-5 will have to complete their mission.
If I may ask, sir, what are we going to do about SG-1?
They're out there somewhere. Hopefully they'll find their way back.
Shouldn't we start a search?
I'm afraid this is one mission they're on their own.
Yes, sir.
Well, there's no point, really, is there? Either they'll come back or they won't. Leather Emporium. What a strange sign. They must really do good business to have a billboard.
So we're not going to have much time.
Escape and hopefully live out the rest of our lives without affecting history.
Or?
I can't think of an or at the moment, sir.
No or?
There's an or.
There's an or?
Sir, you can't just will something to happen because you want it to be a certain way.
Captain, where there's a will, there's an or. Wait.
If I remain on this planet, I will eventually be taken over by my mature symbiote.
That's really not a good thing.
It isn't, is it? Oh, don't you just love convenience?
A flat tire?
Yeah.
That actually looks not like a prison transport van. That looks like cash in transit van.
It's not exactly a secure vehicle, is it?
They probably use the cash in transit van.
Yeah, to be fair, they're fully armed, so it's not...
I'll keep an eye, you help the driver.
They are handcuffed, aren't they?
I presume so.
Flat tire?
I'm the one who arranged it.
He arranged the flat tire.
How did you do that?
Before I can even think of doing what's asked of me in the note, I need to know who you are and who gave it to you.
Oh my god. Bing!
Yes.
My name is Samantha Carter, and you gave me the note, sir. Sir, before we left, General Hammond gave me a note and told me to keep it in my vest pocket until I got to the other side.
It's addressed to me. In my handwriting.
What's it say?
Help them. And seeing as helping you will undoubtedly lead to court-martial, I'd like to know why I would do that.
Because it's your idea.
Albeit one you won't have for 30 years.
That is perfect, isn't it? Close your eyes, you think, that is a young Hammond.
And then I will erase your memory for your own good and the good of the timeline.
Jack's doing his best puzzled look. Hang on a minute, you've told us to tell him nothing. Yeah. Now you're blabbing.
I have to say, I'm impressed by the casting. And of course, as usual, impeccable cinematography, nicely lit, sort of dark with a little stripe of light across one side.
1969. The moon landing?
That was just a couple of weeks ago, right?
Yeah, not a great secret that, Daniel.
The entire world knows that.
But not too many people know you watched it from your father's bedside in his hospital room just 2 days after his first heart attack.
Now, a memory of this episode's just dropped wholly phoned into my head. Isn't it about to Zach gun the other two?
Yep.
We will know you. For some reason, 30 years ago, you decided we were going to need help. Otherwise, you wouldn't be standing there with a note. Are you going to listen to yourself?
No, are they going to tell him, you lose all your hair, mate?
Yeah.
You've got a note. In the grand scheme of things, it's not that impressive.
Yes. Well, it depends on the nature of the note.
A note saved the planet in a future episode?
Hmm. Oh, the note. That was it. Was that a season finale?
No, I don't think it was.
It were a good two-part of that. It might have been a mid-season break one.
And so we get he gets a good look at the hand again.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry, miss, did I hurt you?
It's Captain, and it's all right. Lieutenant. May I see the note?
Look, we don't want to hurt anybody, but we are going to have to knock those guys out somehow.
So that links a continuity with Senior Hammond?
Senior Hammond noticing the hand?
Yeah.
Nice makeup on the hand.
There we go.
Hey, is that Nick Adele?
Yeah, the one thing... Technically, I suppose he shouldn't have been carrying that.
No. Well, they didn't know they were going to 1969.
I mean, Hammond.
Hammond was probably curious.
Yeah, but...
He got the note at that point.
Help!
It's a handy little weapon when all said and done.
Oh, yes. It's a wonderful plot device. That's what it is. It's a plot device.
Shouldn't he ask if they're stunned or not, you know?
Are they dead?
Yeah.
Sort of thing.
Oh, look. There's a control. Just in time. Not too soon, not too late.
Oh, that was clever. Hammond lies down and pretends to be knocked out. How would Hammond not get... Now, how is that going to break the lock?
I'm not exactly sure.
All right, everything you confiscated from us is in these two boxes?
Except for your ray gun, yes.
Right.
Maybe we shot it twice, but then he might have disintegrated the box and the contents.
Yeah, once again, though, shooting that sort of energy into a box that contains live ammo. Incredibly reckless.
It's a metal box. Faraday cage effect.
Oh, okay. Up until this point, I never realised that shooting an inanimate object three times had also caused it to disintegrate. I thought that was something always reserved for flesh.
Well, that's what I thought. But in that case, you see, if you disintegrated someone and they had jewellery or metal implants, disappear too.
It'd be a bit of a giveaway, wouldn't it, if you're trying to be stealthy? A little bundle of clothes every 50 feet.
Well, Warehouse 13 did it. A bundle of clothes with dust in it.
One more thing. You have to keep everything you've seen and everything we've told you a secret, and I mean for the rest of your life.
General Hammond. I like the sound of that. What are you going to do now?
Well, you're better off not knowing. But I do want you to know that what I'm about to do keeps you from getting court-martialed.
At least you'd say it hurts me more than it hurts you.
Are they going to steal? Doesn't that truck have a flat tire? Oh, they're on foot.
Yeah, they're not going to take the truck.
Well, the truck's too obvious, isn't it?
Got to go by road, so that's easy for roadblocks.
So, what's the plan?
Find the Stargate?
Find the Stargate? That's the plan?
Elegant in its simplicity, don't you think?
And if we don't find the Stargate?
There's one in Antarctica.
There's one in Antarctica. That's a fabulous plan.
Assuming we locate the Stargate, how then do we get back to the future?
And now as we wander through the dense forest of... Well, I presume this is meant to be some forest not too far from... Arizona doesn't have any dense forest. Far did they go in the truck?
I don't know. To be fair, when we used to have a little wood near where I live, in Ilson, it didn't look that different. The right time of the year.
Hmm. So this definitely isn't Vancouver. Do they even know... I presume Carter knows where the gate is.
She has no idea where the gate is.
Well, they know where a gate is, but...
Well, yeah, they mentioned the Arctic gate, but...
Difficult to get to.
Yes.
Especially did...
That's cryptic.
Well, wait a second, it just means that on August 10th at 9:15 a.m. something is going to happen.
And happen again the next day at 6:03. We just have to figure out what that something is.
They mentioned what date it was.
What do you mean? Which date?
I mean, what date it is now? How long they have?
I think this is just a few days away.
Hmm.
Isn't it in the transcript? Or are you still watching the actual episode?
I'm doing both. I have the episode in the window and the transcript's only behind it.
You know, the vet blew it when they went with that body style. They used to be so cool.
Actually, I was about 4.5 years old in 69.
Carter, stick your thumb out.
That's it. Practical, Jack. Female. Stick your thumb out.
Mm.
Show a bit of leg, Sam.
Really?
Well, that's where Catherine used to live, or lives. She's probably the only person outside of military who has the slightest idea where the Stargate might be, and I really don't think she's going to tell us over the phone.
Daniel, you can't. In order to preserve our past, Catherine has to meet you for the first time years from now.
Ah, Catherine.
Yeah. She's the only person they know that's got the history, you know, long enough history with the gate. To even guess where it is. Cheer up, Tilk. He's not enjoying this road trip, is he?
No. Well, hang on. Is Tilk just climbing out of the ditch now for you?
Yeah, right now.
Yeah, okay.
He's had enough. He will stop the vehicle by simply standing in front of it and knowing that it will stop.
This method appears to be ineffective.
Tilk.
Tilk.
Thinking?
That is effective, O'Neill.
Are they Egyptian symbols on the mirrors?
Oh, no.
On the side mirrors, like the Eye of Ra?
We would have stopped, man.
Hey. Listen, we've got gas money. Where are you headed?
Upstate New York, some big concert. Where are you headed?
New York, back east.
Hop in.
Hmm. Yeah, gas money when a dollar bought you 2 or 3 gallons. The old days.
Yes. It's still remarkably cheap compared to Europe.
Yeah.
Where a dollar buys you about 300 milliliters.
Never leave your engine running while you're filling up or you're going to be in regret.
I'm Michael.
I am not at liberty to reveal my identity.
Oh!
Far out, man.
I am not in the position to reveal identity.
Not many laws on pollution either, by the looks of it.
I'm sure that's dry ice.
Hello.
Hi.
They look out of place, don't they, really?
Very.
So what'd you do?
This is Jenny.
I think she fancies Daniel.
We didn't do anything. We've got a little problem with the establishment.
I so relate to that.
So if you could take us as far as New York, we'd...
I really love your hair.
Well, I think she'd quite happily give Daniel a bounce.
Thanks.
Free love and all that.
Yes.
Listen, we could really use some cheap clothes. So if you see a cheap clothes place around, we'd appreciate it.
No sweat.
A cheap clothes place.
Did they even put him through makeup or was his hair like that?
Your thing, that thing, what's it symbolize? Peace?
Slavery. To false gods.
Right on. So, it's made out of...
Do not discuss it further.
I dig. It's cool. So you just go AWOL? Hey, we're cool. After the concert, me and Jenny, we're even thinking of crossing the border up to Canada.
For what reason?
You know, man. The war.
The war with Canada?
No.
Yep, Jenny played by Amber Rothwell. She was in Battlestar and Smallville.
She's cute. But she looks about 16.
Might very well be.
Really?
No, I mean the character.
Oh.
You're crossing the border to Canada. Yeah, right.
We won't see the Stargate Studios.
Oh, now this is turning into an episode of South Park. Montage music.
Montage music?
Montage music.
Actually, it does look a bit like a wig.
Yeah.
Because it's not that it looks fake, but it's more the fact that it completely covers where his scalp line would be. Plus, it's a totally different colour to his beard.
That sort of waving, I imagine it's pretty hard to do on the road. Written by Bruce Turgon from Foreigner.
Amarillo. So they've got clothing, and this is the infamous Route 66 and some cows.
Yeah.
Jim Jack knows something about repairing engines.
I imagine he does.
And here we have Flower Child Daniel. He really doesn't look comfortable, does he? Teal?
He doesn't. Teal's blending.
No, Teal looks dangerous.
Death race. This is probably more travelling around the country than they've done in the whole series so far.
They don't have suitcases, though. How long would it take to get to? Where are they stopping in Philly, anyway?
Oh, another convenient wooded area.
Yes, but why?
Well, I suppose they can't afford to stop at any motels, and of course, they're not going to.
No. Carter looks tired.
She looks all shriveled up, really. Or is she having deep thoughts?
Yes. Deep thought, Carter.
Yep.
Go on, Carter, say 42.
She's figured it out just by looking at the campfire.
A flare.
What?
That's the only explanation. We had to have been sent back because of a solar flare.
Was there not an error in your calculations?
I don't think so, Teal.
Jack threatened to sing Kumbaya if she didn't sort it out.
I can never imagine Jack singing, even pissed, that's drunk for American friends. I can't imagine Jack singing Kumbaya. I think he'd rather be shot by...
Yeah, maybe as a boy.
No, I think as a boy, Jack was shooting deer. When he wasn't looking through telescopes, he was looking through telescopic sights.
Yeah, he does seem the type to have been bred to this life, doesn't he?
In fairness, only someone who hunted would actually keep a gun, a loaded gun, in a house with a 10-year-old child.
Why haven't we tried this before?
Because flares are impossible to predict. But light takes several minutes to travel between the Earth and the Sun, so by the time a flare of sufficient magnitude has been confirmed, it's already too late.
Okay, if they're impossible to predict, how do we get ourselves home?
August 10th, 9:15 a.m. It's in the note.
It's the time and date of the next flare?
Yeah. General Hammond must have used my own research to figure out what we needed.
Or maybe that's the reason he asked you to do the research in the first place.
And then he looked up two flares in August of 1969 that could send us home.
General Hammond, you old son of a...
Hey, guess what? People were listening in.
Yeah.
Hello.
soup?
Did he just say soup?
Soup, yeah.
Come on, have something to eat.
I mean, traveling between Earth and where? What's that about?
Well, when I said that, I was just imagining.
Oh, I don't think so, man.
You said that you were in trouble with the establishment.
And we are. We are just not the establishment of this planet.
Well, that's one way to get out of the story that they're from the future. They're aliens.
Yes, aliens.
We came to Earth to hide among your people a long, long time ago.
From a galaxy far, far away.
Daniel, that's... you didn't.
What did Daniel do?
They're from a galaxy far, far away.
Hmm.
It's fortunate the two hippies, Jenny and Michael, weren't really into pulp sci-fi.
Yeah.
So they'd be running for their lives now.
True.
Because the 1950s and 1960s sci-fi really didn't paint aliens in a good light. Especially when you had ray guns like that.
God, there's about half a page of description of montage.
They're driving past some cows now and...
It's all right.
Whoa. That was unreal.
It is, in fact, extremely real. As is our need for assistance.
Look, I'll siphon out a bit of gas and I'll do exactly the same effect, mate. It's not that impressive.
Okay. We'll do it.
I don't know. Traitors to the human race. Aiding aliens.
Well, T-Hook's an alien.
Here we go. Montage!
Now, did you see the amount of text they used to describe the last montage?
How much were it? No, I looked at the transcript.
I copied it into your Skype chat.
Did you? The Observatory. Actually, the Gordon MacMillan Southern Observatory in Vancouver.
It's not a very big one, is it?
Size isn't everything.
I'm not responding to that.
It's an alpha solar filter.
Or I'll burn my eyes out. I know.
Good luck.
Yeah, Jack knows that sort of thing. It's his one...
This is Jack. That's poor writing by Brad. You think Brad would know better?
Unless the point was that, for once, Sam's trying to be helpful and putting a foot in the mouth. And that's one time Jack can have a little dig back.
All right, we got one shot to prove Carter's theory. Don't screw it up, Jack.
Is not astronomy one of your hobbies on here?
Not quite on the scale.
Yeah, that'd be one
that's,
of the
that's Teok's only going, well, don't you know this stuff? You see, Teok assumes that if somebody knows something about something, yeah, then they know everything about it. I presume the observatory wasn't being used because, let's face it,
no guards, no staff, no nothing.
Well, yeah, but who uses come out at night during the day?
Yeah, we only come out at night.
Yes. With that Tron episode of South Park, you had me watch.
Another location shoot, Walnut Street. And this is Catherine's house.
And this is Catherine.
Young Catherine.
Father never told me. I'm Rick Gruber. I had a son.
Well, I was but a small boy when they were still working together, but my father often spoke of dying father as one of the few people in this world he could trust.
Before we continue, I must ask, what was so important it couldn't be discussed over the telephone?
I have to say, with that hair and those glasses, Daniel's almost unrecognizable.
he looks wrong. He sounds wrong.
He looks German.
Well, that's probably why he's speaking with a German accent.
I don't think that was a conscious connection. I looked at him and I thought, he looks German. He's the ponytail and the slicked back hair and the glasses.
He referred to it in his notes as the doorway to heaven.
It was the boots, wasn't it, that did it? And the lederhosen.
Wir haben ein Fragment der Steinplatte gefunden mit einigen derselben Zeichnungen, wie dieser, die wir allen diesen Jahren entdeckt wurde.
You found only a fragment.
Oh my god, subtitles.
Mm.
Woohoo.
She's surprised he actually speaks German.
Yeah, don't talk in front of the help.
Yes. Carter's looking back and forth at that blank expression of, I don't actually speak German. No. She's covered that very well. I've been there. I've watched two native German speakers have a rapid-fire conversation. I can generally follow German if it's spoken slowly and carefully.
Yeah.
But I caught about one word in 20.
Only that the American military was under the mistaken impression that the device thine father discovered might halt them. Dark military purpose. Even that much, I was sworn to secrecy.
So not so good.
Yeah, that's a great. Daniel is able to slip in little bits of information that confirms he is genuine.
The device thine father discovered. Oh, come on.
What next? The fall of Madonna coming, with the big boobies.
I'm expecting Donald and Blitzen at any moment.
Snell.
Yeah, Snell.
But it's pointless. The military won't even acknowledge its existence.
Would you know which armory?
They've actually spelled that, und you cannot tell me where, V-H-E-R-E, in the transcript. Unless I say it's bad German accent. Folks, look up the transcript. It's bloody hilarious.
He's a bit creepy now, to be honest. Which armory, while he stirs his tea. Thank God she didn't have a cat. He'd jump in his lap and he'd have a nice kitty.
No, it would have to be a white cat.
Yeah.
So, yes, there's the flare.
Oh.
Brother Teal'c. At precisely 6.03 p.m. tomorrow.
One hell of a telescope.
Yeah.
With the appropriate filter so he don't burn his eyes out.
And apparently a video camera which records it and then plays it back complete with flicker. Oh dear, I'm sorry.
I love it when a plan comes together.
Well?
Theory's confirmed.
Where do we have to be for tomorrow's flare?
Washington, D.C.
What kind of gas did you put in this bus to get them back? If we're hit by Cooper this quickly?
This piece of music's really getting some play. The guy, Bruce, who wrote it, he's a fan of Stargate, so they might have got it royalty-free as well.
We're almost there, sir. It's going to be close. We can't find a power source right away.
We will.
So they got from New York to Washington. I suppose it's only about 700 miles, is it?
I really have to say this. The two of you have been unbelievably...
Groovy.
Groovy. I think is the word.
Groovy. Yeah, the word suits.
What?
Groovy.
Groovy.
Groovy. I think what we're trying to say is that we have to go the rest of the way alone.
Why?
Because it's dangerous.
We want you to take us with you.
We can't do that.
But you owe us.
Yes, we do. We owe you a lot. But you belong here. And you have to trust me on this. This is a great time.
Michael got drafted.
Ah, typical. They help the aliens, now they want to leave mankind.
Yes. You see, Daniel's back to Fringe. Character twin hair, Daniel. Not slightly creepy, swept back hair German Daniel.
I don't want to kill anybody. Michael!
Sir, you can't say anything. He has to make up his own mind.
Yeah, so Michael's been drafted. And don't worry, mate. Chances are you won't get a chance to kill anybody before they shoot you.
Mm-hmm. Jack's not old enough to have served.
Yeah, Vietnam, no.
Korea, maybe.
Yeah, that was before Vietnam.
Were it?
Yeah.
Yes, my soul.
Your secret's safe with us.
We know that. Thank you. Take care.
I don't think that's an eye of Rasim, but I think it's just an eye. All ladies together.
And we leave them here, never to see him again. It was a pity we couldn't have got some sort of follow-up.
With them?
Yeah.
Doubtless there's been some fanfic. Now, trust me, in the fanfic, they probably have a kid who joins the Stargate program.
Yeah, it worked in Quantum Leap.
Oh, is it?
Yeah.
Oh, Trilogy. Yeah.
That's it.
Sorry, I'm not sure I saw all of Quantum Leap.
I bought the box set a few months back. Mm-hmm. Nice and cheap.
I was impressed with Enterprise that not in a single episode of Enterprise did Scott Bakula say, oh boy.
Has he said it in Chuck? I think he has said it in Chuck, though.
Not seen Chuck yet. I've got three seasons of it.
You should. It's a fantastic show.
I'll watch it. I'll get round to it. Bloody hell.
Anyway, back to Stargate. Luck would have it, the gate stored vertically, which seems a stupid way to store something like that. And the packaging drops down to provide an easy-to-access ramp.
Yes.
It's almost as if this is planned out in advance.
Where to?
Back the way we came, via P2X555.
Wait a minute, how do you know we'll go forward in time instead of back?
Well, General Hammond must have chosen flares on the opposite side of the sun this time. So the sun's rotational differential will send us forward instead of back. Look, we just have to trust General Hammond. I mean, the point is we are 15 minutes away from the only chance we are going to get at this, and we still haven't found a power source to free...
How much power?
Thankfully, they don't need a nuclear reactor. What was it, 80-something gigawatts?
Yes. Ah, the trucks.
Now, somehow I'd imagine they needed more power than this to activate the gate. I mean, they've used a bolt of lightning.
Keep it going!
Which is quite a high voltage. They used Naquada.
Well, maybe the gate was partially... Now, here's the thing. I presume this gate... Okay, that's wrong.
What? Explain yourself then.
They didn't have any dampers on it. That should have knocked everyone down.
Let's not worry about that.
We have got to go.
So it works, at least in part, if you're touching something metal.
So the timing has to be exact, just a few more seconds.
It's going to have to be close enough. Go!
I don't know if you can hear that. It's an ice cream van in the background.
Is it? All right. It's a good job everybody's such poor shots.
Mm-hmm.
They're Air Force though, aren't they?
We don't often see that dissolve, do we?
No. And the bullets fly through?
Well, yes. So when are they now?
Auntie M! Auntie M!
Where's everyone?
Kansas. Mysterious doors open, a shadow approaches.
Hello, Jack.
And they entered the gate at the wrong time.
Yes.
And what happens when you go through time incorrectly? You end up someplace you shouldn't be.
Or some time you shouldn't be.
I hardly recognised you with hair.
This is Cassandra, isn't it?
Yep. You've got old.
Do we know you?
Sam will recognize me.
Come on, Jack, you're not that slow.
I'm closer. Oh my god. Cassandra, you're Sam.
Excuse me, who is this?
Cassandra.
Cassie's 13 years old.
Not anymore, Jack. I've been expecting you my whole life, in fact. You entered the Stargate a few seconds too soon, so the flare threw you far into the future. I've come to send you back where you belong.
How did you know we'd come here?
When I was old enough to understand, Sam explained what happened, and that I'd be the one to send you home.
Like a self-fulfilling prophecy.
Mm-hmm. As much as I would love to spend more time with you, the timing must be precise. You have to go.
Already? But there's so much that you...
Of all people, no, I can't.
And Carter, in violation of every principle, wants to know. Temptation, thy name is...
Yeah, that's the problem, of course. You know...
I will tell you this. Your journey's just beginning.
Just like General Hammond, Sam knew something was going to happen, so she had to make it happen.
Mm-hmm.
Make sure it happened. Ah, and then we get the device that Apophis used to own.
So that's what you say. I haven't seen that still.
No dialing required. No whoosh either. Just like the knocks, they can just open the gate. Which makes you wonder if they understand the gate system better than the ancients did.
The knocks?
Yeah.
They probably helped build it.
Or perhaps they refined the second and third generation gates compared to the Stargate Universe gates, which look far more modern despite being...
Yes!
I love Jack's sort of gestures of, we win!
Yeah, that was one hell of a liberty.
We're home.
Thanks to one sparky young Lieutenant Hammond.
Sparky.
Look, hooks should be the order of the day here.
When I was a young lieutenant, I was ordered to escort four people out of Cheyenne Mountain. In the vest pocket of one, I found a note with my name on it. Needless to say, I followed its instructions.
But you couldn't have known when to give it to me.
No, not until I saw the cut on your hand. Remember when I took your cuffs off?
Then you've been waiting for this to happen.
Ever since we met. I almost didn't let you go.
But if you didn't, you would have changed your own history.
Yeah, just in case the viewers fail to spot it.
Yes, I actually do quite like this next line that gets the Jack.
Yes. Oh, by the way, Colonel, with interest, you owe me $539.50.
Yes, sir.
I like Jack in this. I like Jack.
He's very happy, Jack. Yeah. He's loving life. He's actually calculated it. You've got to love that, haven't you? Trying to sort out compound interest if you're not an accountant. I'd imagine it's pretty difficult.
No, he probably told Carter to do it and just didn't tell her why. So that was 1969.
That was highly enjoyable.
Yes. I suppose next week we've got a two-parter.
Oh, the season finale.
And far more cliffhanger-y than I think the season one finale.
I'll have to watch it. Again, another episode I haven't seen recently.
It's the return of Thingy.
Thingy. Yeah, great.
Yes, Thingy.
Great character, Thingy was. And his mate, what's his name?
Her.
Well, fair enough.
Her Thingy, rather than he Thingy.
Sorry, just let me take a moment. Look at this picture of Sam in this book. Ow.
What?
I'm just looking at my Stargate SG-1 Dialing Up official guide to Seasons 1 through 5. It's got, before Season 3, there's a picture of Sam. Very... striking.
What did you say the name of the actress playing that young one in the van was?
Amber Rothwell. Jenny.
Sorry, I'm just checking something. Oh, was she in Universe? Or rather Atlantis? No, sorry. Wrong film. Never mind. I was just Googling images of her.
Yeah, she's in Galactica, Smallville, Jeremiah, in Wolf Lake and Andromeda. Harsh Realm. Did quite a lot of genre work. But then again, like I say, if you're a Canadian actor or actress in around Vancouver, there were a lot of work to be done.
Mm-hmm.
Next on Stargate SG-1. After countless missions and countless victories, Colonel O'Neill must face his final defeat.
Welcome back to the land of the living, Colonel.
Because everyone and everything he once knew is gone.
Everyone on your team are all deceased.
As a matter of fact, I imagine everyone you ever knew is probably gone now.
Now, alone in the future.
The year is now 2077. You've been in cryogenic hibernation for almost 79 years.
How? For Colonel O'Neill.
Ow!
There may be nothing left to fight for.
What happened to my team? They didn't make it. I got that.
On the next Stargate SG-1.
So next week, out of mind, and unfortunately, technically that would be an out-of-season spoiler, so I'm not going to say it. So next week we'll record the season finale, and hopefully enough people have voted on our poll, or I can actually be coherent enough, at least certainly more coherent than we were end of last season.
Yeah, and get some sort of, not necessarily a state of the podcast, but just a general overview of the second season. So if anybody wants to email in their favourite episodes, least favourite, maybe the top threes, anything like that. We do have a mention this week for Sapphire, spelt S-A-7-F-I-R-E, who posted an iTunes review. Thanks very much. If she would like to drop us a message directly, we'd love to hear from her. A take on the two episodes you mentioned, Needs and Prisoners, were not two of our favourites, so it's easy to miss aspects others like. Because at the end of the day, this is just our opinion, and we'd love to hear other people's opinions on the same episodes. Anybody else would like to do us an iTunes review on the US or UK site, or any other, feel free. We never turn down feedback. We also have a listing on Podcast Alley. Alas, their search engine doesn't seem to recognise us, despite the, so we may not get any benefit from that site directory.
Jeez. Right, folks, that was 1969. Next week is our final episode of the season, and after some off-air discussions, we've decided we probably won't go on hiatus this year, so we'll carry on plugging away through season three, which has some interesting episodes, primarily because, to be honest with you, you can't really watch part one of the last episode without watching part two immediately afterwards.
That's right.
It's very much a sort of, oh my God, I have to wait 3 months, kill me now, kind of thing.
Yeah, it's the joys of television. Can you imagine those? Compared to some cliffhangers, it's not too bad. It's not like the TNG cliffhanger of season three, four, where Picard gets taken by the Borg.
Yes, and I remember that.
Yeah, Riker says, fire, and then it cuts and says, we'll be back in three months. What? No!
3 months? It were bloody 8 months.
It was 8 months.
I think so. So that's pretty much it. Listen, folks, it's been interesting. Keep downloading, keep listening. Feed us back stuff, because frankly, we appreciate it.
Yep. Any sort of feedback is welcome. Don't make us beg.
I'll beg.
Okay, then make us plead. You really don't want to hear us getting down on our hands and knees pleading for feedback.
Yeah, especially as I can't remember to being run over rather badly 17 years ago. Nasty things happened to me. So basically, please, give the Partially Crippled Podcaster email.
Oh, how can you resist? Obviously you can, but that's not the point,
obviously,
is it?
You can, based on our listenership figures, you clearly can. You can get us in our Facebook group, which is, if you just type Gatecast into search, it should come up. Email is gatecast@phasecast.com. We're now up on Twitter, which is TheGatecast, just one word. We will tweet when the show is started, and I'll keep an eye on it as we record. So if you want to sort of contribute as things go along, feel free to send us a message.
We are also listed on podcastpickle.com. And finally, we have our own website, gatecast.phasecast.com. Or simply do a Google search for The Gatecast Podcast. On the website, you'll find all our episodes, plus the comments forum. Listings for news and media is also included. We'd love to have you visit. And for our fellow podcasters, we have 3 promos listed on our feed as well. Feel free to use them. If you do, let us know, and we'll gladly play yours. These have been the Gatecast contact methods.
Right then, folks, that's 1969 done.
Next week, strangely enough, not 1970.
Out of Mind, the second season finale next week. Join us.
Please.
Take care, folks. Bye-bye. Bye.
You've been listening to Gatecast, presented by Alan, Mike and Scott. Visit us at gatecast.facecast.com.